The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
One hour in, we had a great conversation with Bruce Feldman earlier. We'll talk to a number of other people, including Kevin Skarbinski, the legendary sports writer from Alabama, in just a few minutes. Right now, we're continuing with your phone calls at 855-242-7285. And Mitch is in South Carolina. Hello, Mitch.
Hello, Paul.
Mitch.
Paul, I don't look at your webpage, but you didn't post on there that y'all are interviewing people for characters for that sitcom, did you?
No, I don't think we're going to be soliciting for that, no.
Well, it sounded like to me JK's trying to become the jackass of the show.
I think he might be trying out for that for the sitcom by that name.
He would fit in with them.
He sure would. Won't have to do much acting.
No. Actually, they probably have to act to come to his standards. I have to say something to my friend Augie. I like Augie. He's wonderful, but he wanted to pull me in on that I'm gonna be a witness thing. I'm like Switzerland. I'm neutral.
Yeah. We have thought about banning Augie after that call last night. That was disgraceful.
I don't know about being disgraceful.
Yeah, no. I mean, for him to accuse me of all those things.
He's known you longer than I have.
That's true.
I don't.
You're right there. Maybe he does know me.
I just want to let him know now, if Switzerland does like for the money to be put in. Now, if he put the right money in, I can be swayed.
Yeah, Switzerland will protect your interests as long as it's in their interests. Thanks, Mitch. Great to hear from you. Jim is up next in Mississippi. Hello, Jim.
Paul, how are you doing?
Well, Jim, thank you.
Good. Another old listener. I'll test your memory for a second.
Okay.
My dad indoctrinated me into being an Ole Miss fan a long time ago, back when Glenn Griffin was their quarterback. So I don't know if you remember Glenn.
I do not. I was introduced to Ole Miss. Who was the quarterback before Archie? That's probably as far back as I go.
Who was that?
Yeah. Was it Jake Gibbs? Not Jake Gibbs. He was
No, Jake
player.
Was like 61, 62.
Okay, yeah.
Glenn Griffin was 63.
Yeah, maybe. It was somewhere in that range. I saw Ole Miss play a game in the mid to late 60s in Memphis, and that was when I first became aware of them.
Yeah. But anyway, you know, both of us go back a ways.
Yes.
And got a couple of questions for you, if you don't mind.
No.
I know it's a couple of years away, but once Oklahoma and Texas do enter into the SEC, what are there any preliminary plans as far as how the rearrangement of the conference will be? Will it be maybe 2-8s or 4-4s or what's the?
Yeah, Jim, that is the burning question because first of all, we're not 100% sure when they're coming in. It could be earlier than 25. We're hoping it will be. Let me give you a nuanced answer because I've heard so many different things. In 2 weeks, in fact, 2 weeks from right now, we will be doing this show in Destin for the SEC meetings. And that is going to be a major topic. And I think my answer to you would be check back in 2 weeks and see what the conventional wisdom is. Originally, it was that there would be no divisions. I don't think there'll be divisions. Everyone is getting away from them. So what will it be? Will it just be a big league where you play the four pods? You have three permanent opponents. All these things are literally being discussed as we speak.
That's what I had heard, but I just wasn't sure. And I know you keep your finger on the pulse.
Well, that's his best guess. And some of the reasons are, you just with eight divisional opponents, with eight in each division, it's just too cumbersome to play the schedule. One thing that I think will happen is that the conference will go from 8 to 9 games a year. Now, that sounds good to you and me, perhaps. A lot of the schools aren't crazy about that, because if you're struggling right now, if you're trying to move from maybe the 12 or 13 position up to 7, 8, or 9, that means you have another conference loss, perhaps, which could keep you out of the bowl game. So that's a big deal to some athletic directors.
Yeah, and even now with 8, we're getting the crap kicked out of each other every week.
Exactly.
But moving on to a second question, then I'll get off the phone and let you get back to your normal. With the portal being as hot as it is right now, if the NCAA does jump in and think they can do something with it, just how much more screwed up can they do it?
Well, yeah, I think it would – I think if you give the NCAA more authority, they will find more ways to screw things up. So I think the key is to give them less authority, which is the current plan. But right now, the only thing you'll see, I think, are more restrictions on the dates. And that's already going on, where, you know, it just won't be months and months of chaos. It will be a finite period of time. Thank you very much for your call. Really interesting stuff there. Wesley in Georgia is on the air. Hello, Wesley.
Hey, Paul. How you doing today?
Wesley, we're doing well. Thank you.
Just add another chapter to my memory bank of great stories in sports history in Georgia. I'm adding chapter for the South Carolina Lady Gamecocks, and I'm going to shout out for them, because they sure had a good basketball team this year.
They did.
I had watched the Missouri game earlier in the year, and they got beaten. I just kind of lost track of them. And all of a sudden, Final Four, national champion. So Wesley from Georgia is going to give them a shout out that he really enjoyed watching them bring that home.
Well, I'm glad to hear that, Wesley. You take care of yourself. Tripp is up next in Birmingham. Hello, Tripp.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
Tripp, we're doing great. Thank you.
Yeah, big-time fan, first-time caller. Listen, I want to ask you, I was reading yesterday about the Alabama-Texas game in Austin this year, that it's potentially going to kick off at 11 a.m. local time. And, you know, being Texas a little bit out, I imagine that's going to be, it's going to be quite a hot afternoon. I didn't know if there was any chance that they would change that, or because I was reading somewhere that they could expect the field conditions to be as hot as 120 degrees.
And I hadn't heard this in a long time. There's a petition going around to force Fox. Well, the bottom line is that Fox doesn't care. Fox wanted that game for a reason. You would say to yourself, well, wouldn't Fox do better by putting that game in prime time? Well, you would think so, except that Fox has put a lot of its capital on what they call the Big Noon kickoff. It's gotten big numbers for them. They've had a lot of success. They have their, you know, Fox has a game day show too with Urban Meyer. Obviously, there's no vetting process for that network. And so their best games are at 12 Eastern, 11 Central. So I don't think they would have, in prime time, they're up against countless other games. You know, think about those 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock games. There are good games at that hour, but normally there are not great games. So they have been very successful putting their games in that spot. And I would be shocked if they opted for another time slot.
Right. I just couldn't imagine that attendance would be as good at 11 o'clock. I mean, I'm sure that some games, you know, you're going to have those 11 o'clock games early in the season for programs like that. But, like, I couldn't imagine any games week two would do better numbers than that one. Is there any other I'm forgetting about?
Well, no. And by the way, the game time is not set, but... some people think that maybe I'll have to look at whatever else is going on that day. September, what is that? The second Saturday in September. I think Auburn, is that the day Auburn's playing, or was that the third week? There's usually a couple of pretty good games that weekend, but I'll take a look during the break and get back to you, because there is a debate. That is not a very strong weekend, because you often have the U.S. Open tennis going on. The NFL season, I think, has begun. So it is the first weekend of college football is one of the most important weekends. Most of the big you have a tremendous amount of great games. I'll take a look and maybe have a better answer for you in a minute. Let's head to the break. We will pause here, come back. Kevin Skarvinski will join us next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We welcome all of you back. It was 4 years ago on this Wednesday. Actually, the actual date was Monday, but it was on this Wednesday at about this time that we were sitting doing the show live in Birmingham when we got the news that Commissioner Mike Slibe had passed away. It was a shock to many people, even though Commissioner Slive had been sick. He had been battling prostate cancer. And an article came out this week that encapsulated the story about as well as any I have seen by Kevin Skarbinski, who is not only one of the most influential and greatest sports writers in Alabama sports writing history, but was also a very close friend of the late commissioner. Kevin joins us today. Kevin, first of all, it's really good to have you on, and thanks so much for making time.
Well, Paul, thank you for having me on. And any chance I get to talk about our mutual friend, Mike Slive, I'm glad to do it.
Well, so many people were struck by this article. And I know you have written about the commissioner in the past, but this one really touched so many nerves for so many people as you get older and you think you're healthy, and then you find out one day you have some things to deal with. Take us through your own odyssey and how it connects to the late commissioner.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Yeah, that's why, you know, this was one of the easiest columns I've ever written, Paul, and also one of the hardest. And it was easy because, again, I was able to shine a light on the memory of Mike Slive. It was difficult because it was my journey and what I dealt with. And in the winter of 2020, around December or so, I had a regular checkup. And as part of the checkup, I had a blood test. And as part of the blood work, they did a PSA test. And, of course, that's the That's the test that you take to determine if there, you know, if there's a possibility that you might have prostate cancer. And I'd had PSA tests before. It had been some time. I'm a typical guy. I don't always take care of my own health. I don't always get checked up as I should. I don't always take care of aches and pains the way I should. So I had that checkup and at my wife's urging, and it came back that my PSA number was very high, way high and well above the normal range. So my urologist suggested further tests, and we did another test, and that came back indicative of prostate cancer. I had another test, and ultimately I had a biopsy, and that confirmed that I had prostate cancer. And my urologist suggested that the best thing for me at my age would be to go ahead, have surgery, have the prostate removed, and they believed it was contained in the prostate. And happy ending to the story. I had surgery a week after SEC football media days last summer, and that's the way we tell time, right? By sporting events. So a week after that, after covering media days for the SEC, I had surgery, had the prostate removed. The cancer was confined to the prostate. And 10 months later, I'm happy, I'm healthy, and I'm especially glad that I can tell my story. And maybe it will convince other men to get tested. So if there is anything amiss, they can get it treated, because early detection is critical, because this disease is very treatable if you detect it early enough.
And Kevin, you brought up, you know, you being a male, middle-aged, and for some reason, and I'm sure there's a psychiatrist or somebody far more learned than maybe us could explain, but men are just reluctant to. I've made similar mistakes on other issues. And you just say, I don't have time for this right now, and the next thing you know, you're in big trouble.
And that's right. And I can remember, you know, I was able to, and I was honored that Mike allowed me to write the original story about the formation of the Mike Slive Foundation for Prostate Cancer Research that he co-founded with his good friend Ed Meyerson here in Birmingham. And I remember sitting down with Mike and his daughter Anna, who now, as you know, runs the foundation, and her describing it as prostate cancer is where breast cancer was maybe 25 or 30 years ago. It wasn't something that was talked about very much. And now the fight against breast cancer is so prominent, and it's fantastic to see. We've seen professional sports leagues. We've seen leagues of all kinds get involved, raise awareness, raise money for research. And that's really what we need to do with the fight against prostate cancer. But again, as men, we don't like to talk about our health. We certainly don't like to talk about anything negative that might affect our health, and that's just wrong. I mean, that's a mistake, and that's what Mike Slive dedicated the last years of his life to doing, was, you know, demystifying this disease, taking it out of the shadows, and making it comfortable for us to talk about. Because, again, even though it affects about one of every eight men, it is, again, very treatable if you detect it early.
And one more thing on that, and Kevin, and you've alluded to it, you're the perfect example of what happens when you do get it checked. And I know nobody wants to hear this, but it's so interesting, because I've seen breast cancer up close, and, you know, women talk to each other about it. I've never had another man, you know, walk over to me and say, "Hey, have you had a PSA lately?" I mean, it's just not, it doesn't happen.
No, it doesn't. And but we need to have those conversations, Paul, and that's why I appreciate greatly the opportunity for you and I to discuss it today. And you know what struck me, and really what motivated me to write the column, it wasn't something I had planned, you know, on the anniversary of Mike's passing, but the Mike Slive Foundation, as many of these types of organizations do, they send out fundraising material periodically, and I don't always open it and read it. But for some reason, the latest one I got at the end of last week, I opened it, I read it. It was a letter from Mike's daughter, Anna Slive Harwood, and it was so personal and it was so touching. And it mentioned her dad, and it got me a little emotional. I'm getting a little emotional thinking about it. And it mentioned her father's kindness, that the thing that stood out about Mike Slive, far beyond his enormous intellect His incredible ability to bring people together, to be a leader, was his kindness and the impact he had on so many individuals. And I thought, I am not doing my part to help eradicate this disease if I keep my story silent, if I am too embarrassed or whatever emotion we feel as men to talk about this. So I felt it was time, and no better time, again, than the anniversary of Mike Sly's passings to shine a light on the cause that was so important to him and that sadly, terribly, ultimately took his life.
So beautifully said, Kevin. I before you go, I would like to, because I've spent so much time in Birmingham reading, as everyone else did, your opinions and listening to your opinions on college athletics. I'm so interested in your thoughts on where we are today, of all days, in this debate about what happens next and how we should deal with these issues that are currently turning the world of college athletics upside down.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Yeah, it's hard to know where we're going, Paul, because as you said, every day it seems like some new revelation comes out, some new rule change. Now, you know, eliminating initial counters in scholarships so you can rebuild your roster faster. I'm not one of these people, Paul, that is a Chicken Little or, and I don't know why I keep using this Gone with the Wind, Aunt Pity Pat running around looking for her smelling salts reference. There's so many of those people running around today acting as if college sports is on the edge of the abyss, and it's going to be ruined by all of these revolutionary changes. I don't share that opinion. I don't know where this is ultimately going to end, but what I do know is that what always saves college athletics, no matter what changes occur, no matter what negative things may happen, is the athletes themselves, is that at the end of the day, on the last Saturday in November, people are going to gather in Jordan-Hare Stadium or Bryant-Denny Stadium, and they're going to watch on television, because when Alabama and Auburn play football, something amazing may happen. Something that's never before happened may take place, and it may move us to a place we've never been before. So the game itself always saves the sport, whether it's football, whether it's basketball, baseball, you name it, it is the game itself. It's going to keep bringing us back because it's brought us all so many incredible memories. You and I have been fortunate through the years to be present for some of these extraordinary moments, and that's what brings us back. And so I have faith and confidence that whatever the particulars, whatever the ground rules, whatever the guardrails that are eventually put up, how much money people are allowed to make, not allowed to make, and I'm for people making as much money as they can for their talents and their effort, that the game will save the sport.
Kevin Skarbinski, for nearly four decades, they're one of the preeminent voices in the SEC at the Birmingham News. Please read his column in AL.com. Kevin's column under the heading, Mike Slide's advice may have saved my life. Kevin, it's too you're too kind to spend some time with us. We need to do this more often. Thanks so much for being here.
Paul, thank you so much. Have a great day.
Appreciate it very much. Kevin Skarbinski joining us. And let me say, I worked in that market at the same time Kevin did for so long. And I don't know about the sports writers that came before him, but he truly was a standalone giant in that profession. We'll take a short break. More to come after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we are back. And you want to give us a ring? We'll take your calls now at 855-242-7285. Dave is up next in Michigan. Dave.
Hey, Paul, can you hear me?
Yes. Good afternoon.
Hey, I was just thinking about your SEC scheduling and the issues that they have. And I was thinking that if, regardless whether it's divisions or pods, right, if you only play half of your if you only play half of the conference, right, then you're playing seven games. So you play those seven games, and then you take a week off, and then you play a position round where you play your counterpart from the other side. And that way, you can still only have your eight games that you like down there. And what's great is, like, one and two from one half plays two and one from the other half. And all of a sudden, you've got semifinal games, right? The winners of those games, they're in the conference championship. So you still have your eight games. You still it's really hard when you got 16 teams to come up with a champion that you think is appropriate. But if you're willing to
Dave,
have some sort of a position
your
run.
Your plan
yeah?
is interesting, but what's driving all this? We're talking here about X number of weeks that, we as fans look at this as football games. Who's paying the bills? Television networks. They look at this as programming. So another conference game enables that. It's better programming every week. And you stay where you are and you end up with garbage games that, quite frankly, nobody wants to see. Why did the Pac-12 announce today they are doing away with the divisions? Because they've had some horrible championship games. Feldman mentioned UCLA a number of years ago, barely with a winning record, got into the championship game. It didn't help the coach. He got fired regardless. Now you'll get the two best teams in every league playing. And that's and the SEC is really about the only league that's been able to hold on. I'd have to think about this. When was the last time the SEC championship game would have been different had we been using percentages? Probably 2013, off the top of my head, I may be wrong. Oh, yeah, 2013, 2014, 2015. During that stretch, you had Missouri. Missouri may have gotten in there in 2013, but one of those years, Missouri would not have. They didn't deserve to be in there. Florida was in there under McElwain a couple of times when they were pure garbage. Remember the 2011 SEC championship game? That was between Georgia and LSU. Guess who didn't go? Team that played for the national championship, Alabama. So it's really a good idea, and its time has come. Now, I know a lot of coaches have gotten a lot of raises built on the fact that we were the SEC East Division champ, but it's time to end that. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it very, very much. Let's move along, and Mike is in Ohio. Hello, Mike.
Yeah, hey, Mr. Feinbaum, how you doing? I just have a quick question. With the season kicking off with Ohio State, Notre Dame, right?
Right.
We all know Ohio State's going to smash Notre Dame. Sure. And I'm obviously an Ohio State fan. But let's just say Notre Dame being an independent, and they win that game. And obviously they're going to run out their schedule. Would they get in the playoff?
Sure.
Absolutely. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's, I mean, remember Notre Dame played in the ACC 2 years ago. They borrowed the ACC for a year and still got in, even losing the conference championship game. But they did beat the number one team in the country in Clemson. Thanks for the call. Forrest is up next in Arkansas. Hey, Forrest.
Yes, sir. Thanks for taking my call. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Appreciate that.
I want to tell you a story about we were undefeated in 1962, 63 at Danville. We're a little Class B school, home of Brad Taylor. But we had a nose guard, a sophomore, played for us. His name was Bob Pantier. He later played at Army. He was a fullback there. And in 1969... they beat number two SMU and almost beat their rival Penn State, but they had a bad call, kind of like Arkansas gets every now and then. But anyway, they were going to be invited to the Sugar Bowl. Here was a guy from Class B school. You remember the Army school, they can only have, a couple hundred pounders, something like that. So, but McNamara said, no, you can't go. We're fighting in Vietnam. Now, I would have thought that would have been a great morale builder. Anyway, Bob told me they had pewter sugar bowls at the end of each table, 10 cadets eating at each one, 400 in the hall at one time. Somebody stole those sugar bowls. The next morning, there was a big banner said, if our Army football team cannot play in the Sugar Bowl, our cadets will not eat out of these pewter Sugar Bowls. As an announcement came over the deal, said, if you will return the Sugar Bowls, you will not be punished. I thought that was an amazing story. Little redheaded guy from little old Danville, Arkansas, home of Brad Taylor, and almost got to play in a Sugar Bowl.
That's amazing. Hey, thank you for sharing that for us. We're up against a break. We have a lot more to do here on a Wednesday afternoon. Stick around.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back. Let's continue with more of your phone calls here. And Connor is up next. Hello, Connor.
Hey, is this Paul?
Yes. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How are you doing?
Fantastic. Thank you.
Great. I'm a big fan of your show. I was just wanting to call in. I'm a big Alabama fan. And, Paul, my question for you is I've been seeing a bunch of these tweets about the top three coaches of everybody, and none of these I see are Dabo Swinney. And I just feel like Dabo Swinney has been getting disrespected.
Well, he's number three on the list I just read.
Is he? Who do you have of the top three?
Nick Saban, Kirby Smart, Dabo Swinney.
Well, I couldn't disagree with that. I was in attendance for the national championship at Levi Stadium, and man, that was some Clemson team.
Yeah, Connor, it was, and I can't argue. Last year, Dabo Swinney was number two. This year, he's not, and. Yeah, what you've done lately is a big influence on coaching lists. It probably shouldn't be, but we let it be. But right now, I think Kirby Smart, from a recruiting standpoint, from an overall standpoint, is in that category. He's in the number two, three category. It doesn't really matter. They're both highly regarded. Dabo has been top two probably for 5 or 6 years and deserve to be. Let's check out James, who is up next.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Hey, James.
I was going to talk to you about, so I just saw that Alabama and Texas, they just announced that game's going to be on Fox, and I'm just going to talk to you, with your influence in TV and everything. You know, why, if this game is at 11 a.m. kick, which Fox does their big noon kicks, I mean, why in the world would they try to put this at 11 a.m. for a game like this?
Okay, we did look after we had this conversation about an hour ago, and there aren't a lot of great games that night. So I think this game could play well at night, although there, what's the game we were looking at? There's a West Coast game at Oklahoma State. I can't remember. One of the West Coast teams is playing there. I just think that's – Fox decided to gamble on that time slot. Why? Because there usually are not many great games in that slot. So they normally have their big noon kickoff show, which starts at 11 or 10 Central, leading into it on location. It's a big buildup, and that's their philosophy. I don't really – I mean, Fox is pretty well realizing they're not going to win at nighttime against ABC and ESPN with the Big Ten or the yeah, it depends on, you know, which week it is, but always, there's always an SEC game at night on ESPN. And that's how they have decided to brand it. It works. They've done very well in that time slot. I hate it. It's an affront to the fans of college football, but don't let television networks are probably not as concerned about that as we are. And you know, I can't think of a worse place to be than Austin, Texas, with 100% humidity and 95 degrees as the game is going into the second half at about 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
Awesome, Paul. Also, another quick question. Are you going to be in Hoover for the SEC baseball tournament next week?
I may be. Are you going?
Definitely. I'll be there.
Well, thank you. I hope to catch up to you. One other thing. I frankly, maybe I'm alone here. I think this gives Alabama an advantage. Yes, there will be a sellout. It's a hot ticket. And, yes, Texas fans will be excited, at least for the kickoff. But I think if you put that game at night, the atmosphere changes, especially if Texas falls behind, which I think they will in this game pretty quickly. Texas is down by 10 points in the first quarter. Students may decide to see what kind of music is going on in town as opposed to watching their team take another beating. Let's continue with more phone calls here. And Billy is in Texarkana. Hello, Billy.
Hey, Paul, I want you to know I'm a happy man today.
Well, tell me about it. What makes you so happy?
Well, I turned your show on. I saw two interviews, and I thought everything was going good. And then J.K. popped up your first caller, and I went, oh, crap.
Yeah.
Well, but then I got to witness you surgically, verbally tear him apart, and I was so tickled.
Yeah, I
was so happy.
I didn't mean to completely disembowel him, but I think I did.
Wonderful. You did a great job.
Thank you.
Well, and I tell you what, you did such a good job. I put my alcoholic beverage down, and I clapped for you.
Well,
I was clapping.
Tell me this, Billy, only because it's 5 o'clock. It's about to be 5 o'clock where I live, and you know what that means. What are you drinking give me something to look forward to tonight.
Well, I like beer, but I don't drink beer too much unless I just go out and eat. But I'll sit around and watch your show, and I'll pour me some Seagram 7.
Ooh!
But it's not bad. It's
like
it's fairly reasonable price. And but I tell you what I did wrong though.
What's that?
I was so excited. I came in here. I came in here to mix a drink while I was watching the show and waiting on hold, and I guess I was so excited, I poured tequila instead of Seagram 7.